Welcome back to Rockstock Channel. It is Friday, April 12th, and it's just Rodney and me today to record a Rockstock recap, which we haven't done in a little while. We've been very busy recording lots of videos, but the teaser for this, I've used this before, is Queen's Fat Bottom Girls, because bottoming definitely seems to be the narrative, as we did an interview with Canaccord, Red Spencer, not so long ago, and then TD Cowen came out with Calling of the Bottoming this week. Bank of America, likewise, upgraded Albemarle, saying things have bottomed. And Matt Fernley, another guest, said he thinks we should go full bull on lithium equities. So not investment advice. The pricing has been, you know, generally on the futures and spot, you know, sideways to up in a bit of a contango, but not aggressively so. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but stock selection is very key. We interviewed Chris Evans of Winsome Resources on the Lucy in the Sky, or Lithium in the Sky with Diamonds. Very exciting there, but they also had awesome drill results showing that the Adena deposit looks like it could very well be on its way to 100 million tons. Just want to remind everybody, you know, if you like this video, please like and subscribe to Rockstock Channel. The Lithium Ion Bull is coming out on Monday, which will summarize a number of the videos that we've done recently. But if you are not getting this directly into your email box, please register your email at rkequity.com. We recorded earlier this week Iola Hughes of Rho Motion, which had some bullish commentary on, you know, lithium demand from EV and ESS. Rodney will comment briefly on that, but strongly encourage you to watch that video if, you know, when that comes out. And we also did our Iperion X video, you know, special on titanium, but just if you're, you know, if you have brain capacity to think of something other than lithium, this titanium metal story, both from a conversion of titanium scrap to finished product, as well as upstream, you know, raw mineral, you know, what Tazo Arima is doing in hopefully creating his third unicorn, I think is something very, you know, worthwhile for you to get to know. So Rodney, why don't you start some thoughts here? We you know, we'll go through a couple of topics, you know, spodumene auctions, you know, CME futures, you know, fast markets is talking about regionalized pricing. Last advertisement, I think is just, you know, we booked our tickets and hotel for the fast markets conference at the end of June. We would strongly recommend any and all of you, if you have the capacity to come to that in Las Vegas. It's from the 23rd to the 26th, and we'll be interviewing some more fast markets people in the coming weeks in connection with that. So Rodney, where should we start on this recap?
Yeah, Howard, I think you mentioned the CME. We've seen open interest pick up. I think it peaked at just under 25,000 contracts. It's now dipped a little bit, but that on a space basis is definitely, you know, that open interest is climbing, which is always good to see, because it means we have more meaningful insight on some volumes. The auctions that have gone on, they have also helped with price discovery, and they have resulted in China spot prices going up with those spodumene auctions happening and with the carbonate. So we've seen carbonate drift back to around $15,000 a ton. What I noticed, thanks to Cormac O'Leary's, the manufacturing of lithium-ion batteries up, you know, between January and March of this year, very strong, solid, a good bounce. February was always going to be an interesting one because of, you know, the Chinese New Year, but March, year on year, there was a big jump. So that has been very encouraging. I remember, I think Macquarie had earmarked that to say that could underpin some improved demand. So we are seeing some good signs. I know I read somewhere the environmental review on the lepidolite, et cetera, had all gone through smoothly. So that should mean...
What does that mean? Does that mean they turn back on the lepidolite or...
Yeah, it means, you know, they're cleared, operations are cleared. So at what volumes they'll operate at, given their individual break-even pricing is, you know, is dependent operation by operation, but it appears that they are cleared to get back into business if there was any sort of throttling back. One thing I noticed, Howard, on the battery production stats was that CATL was 45% and BYD was nearly, I think, 27%. So 72% of that Chinese battery market is two players.
Okay. BYD and CATL are 72% of the Chinese battery market.
Yep. And that is EV and BSS, you know, BSS. What does it mean? You know, volumes in terms of demand for raw materials are coming from specifically two players. So I don't think you can ignore the influence that CATL has in terms of its own lepidolite operations and its negotiating or pricing influence in the lithium market in order to secure the volumes they need to produce, you know, that output. 45% of the China market in China, it's a high percentage of the global market. So it's meaningful. And I think you can't overlook that.
Okay. You're reminding me of something just as a comment. There have been some deals for offtake. Mitsui just did a deal with Atlas. We always like to talk about deals. That was just a $30 million deal for, I think, was it 515,000 tons of spodumene over the course of a number of years. And that was like stage one and two. But if I look at a benchmark of value, $30 million for 515, you know, 1,000 tons, I think was $95 per ton. So that's one thing as a benchmark there, as a recent, because a lot of people who are in offtake processes, you know, may look at things like that, like Latin Resources, you know, Atlantic Lithium, and maybe some others, but also the fact that it's Japanese and Mitsubishi did a deal with Frontier where they took a small stake at project level, which valued the project, you know, at a lot higher, you know, than the market cap, you know, with some more to come. But the fact that the Japanese are writing checks, and also in Panasonic's case with Nouveau Monde, we're just hearing that Japan, which tends to move very slowly, is picking up the pace here. The Koreans have written checks, LG Chem into Piedmont, or LG, yeah, LG Chem, LG Energy Solutions has written checks, but you know, the Japanese seem to be coming, just being mindful of that dynamic. And from a Japan battery electric vehicle perspective versus hybrids, what's, you know, is this at all correlated? Because, you know, there's mixed messages. You know, Toyota has always been focused on hybrids, but, you know, Honda, I don't have all the information in front of me, but it does seem that Japan is becoming relevant, a bit more relevant, but it's still maybe mixed between BEVs and plug-in hybrids.
Toyota has that 1690, you know, thematic they've been pushing about one EV, pure EV, six plug-in hybrids and 90 hybrids with the same amount of impact. But Europe has just published, Europe has run studies, Howard, where they show the actual impact, the CO2 emissions of plug-in hybrids on an actual versus, sticker as advertised. And I think I saw a recent article saying that the actual emissions were 350% of the estimated. So Europe is skeptical. And as Rho-Motion, Iola Hughes pointed out, you know, they are still on track to phase out plug-in hybrids off the basis of that data. Whereas in other parts, you know, hybrids are still selling. We know BYD sells at just less than half of its electric vehicles or plug-ins. And you know, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. And I know it's not a popular thing, and the Tesla supporters come at me, but you know, there are places around the world, like where I used to come from in Cape Town and Africa, where there just aren't enough charging points. So plug-in hybrids are, you know, or even non-plug-in hybrids are more popular given the difficulty in lack of charging networks. So it's still seen as an interim technology in certain parts of the world. From a perspective of last year's EV sales, plug-in hybrids definitely picked up, and that is almost exclusively down to BYD. So they're a major driver of that. So outside of the certain markets, it seems to have some popularity given infrastructure issues.
So like America's a third world country in this respect, and maybe we're moving toward, you know, more hybrids. And the articles, again, in the Wall Street Journal, you know, there was an article about it. I'll flash up here, you know, should you buy a hybrid? But so the fact that Japanese may be more focused on hybrids and they're starting to do lithium deals, you know, this is not, they're still lithium hybrids. So it may not, how does this impact long-term demand for lithium if the plug-in hybrids are meaningfully a larger percentage than the battery electric vehicles than was forecast, you know, a couple of years ago during Battery Day, for example?
Yeah, so if you looked at the average pack size of a plug-in hybrid last year, it did jump, and it's up over 20 kilowatt hours, but that compares to a full pure battery electric, which is, you know, typically 50 to 60. So that will mean less, you know, demand for lithium if you are having a far more substantial increase in the plug-in hybrid sales versus, you know, full electric. So again, I think it's in niche markets, but it may be that, you know, as I mentioned, it may be an interim technology until charging infrastructure is up and running, and then we're going to switch. America will be a good test market because you've seen Tesla charging infrastructure now open up to other OEMs. So will that encourage people to go full electric because they can use Tesla's network?
You know, Fast Markets came out with this story about regionalized pricing. Paul Graves referenced this, and Chris Evans referenced this in terms of kind of North America, that the OEMs are getting it, right? You can't just look at the China spot price and then say, and have the volatility of that, but, you know, make a major multi-billion dollar investment in mining and refining in North America. And, you know, Fast Markets, in coming up with this regionalized pricing, it's in a similar way that, you know, natural gas, there's not like a global natural gas price. There is, you know, localized pricing there. Do you have any view on this? And we'll talk to Fast Markets about it, but what do you think about this?
Yeah, I've been a proponent of this sort of bifurcation and regionalized pricing. It still has to practically work from a numbers perspective. You know, the requirements for the IRA and that formula, you know, there are certain criteria, but, you know, the benefits of that come with a limitation in terms of value and pricing. So I do think, you know, we will see that concept. The question will be, you know, how broadly or how much of a differentiation can it be from China, given the benefits? Or, you know, do you have is there a straight out geopolitical issue at some point about what material gets shipped where and who uses it? But I do think conceptually, to have a closed loop supply chain in the same way that we're talking about huge appeal for Iperion, you know, titanium is a defense related, you know, critical minerals. So it has even more sensitivity, but I'm pretty sure if you look in the long run on all the implications of what the lithium ion battery and all the uses in energy storage and other things, that America will look to have some version of a closed loop. It's a question of at what price and at what subsidies. But I do think based on the outright formula with the IRA, you have a sense of what the initial parameters will be to make sense.
The question is, where does conversion capacity have it? Which mines get built, right? There's a lot of, the infrastructure is very remote, you know, in Quebec, in a lot of areas. So there's a lot of excitement, and we're excited, you know, by Patriot Winsome and, you know, Q2 Metals. We just did a getting to know you video for, I forgot, like that getting to know you series is something we would encourage all of you listeners to watch. These are our news stories. Q2 was our first. We have clean tech, you know, metals coming up, and then CERT battery metals, which is a sediment deposit in Nevada. So I think we've been very focused on hard rock, but it shouldn't be lost. You know, it takes time to get things permitted in Quebec. Conversion's not easy. Infrastructure's a challenge.
What's happened with Corpus Christi? I'm not hearing anything out of it.
I think it's progressing, you know, pretty well. Exact time wise, I don't know, but I think they're very excited or very interested to be receiving feed from the North American Lithium mine. In Tesla Battery Day, they talked about, you know, proximity, localization, and with spodumene prices low, transport cost are very, very important. So it's a big cost differential to transport from Quebec to Corpus Christi, then shipping stuff to China. But it is a big, we need many more Corpus Christis. We need many more, hard rock conversion in North America to handle all of the prospective spodumene mines that could come into production in Quebec. And, you know, Arcadium is planning, but, you know, is slow for Nemaska. We'll see what happens with James Bay. You have this Moblan, you have various things that are large. You have Patriot, the conversion plants the Piedmont has its Carolina Lithium. There are plans, but no one's really spending the money they're not fully funded. And, from a sentiment point of view, Lithium Americas, once they get fully funded, I think they still need to get their money from GM, and there's a equity hole there that they're going to need to fill as well. So they're not yet fully funded, but once they're fully funded, okay, they're going to build a mine and a converting plant. Corpus Christi is a converting plant. We need many, many, many more, converting plants. But I think you're right. We haven't heard him talk directly about it, but there was a video, a guy is watching this very closely, Joe Tegemeyer, I think is his name. We could flash him up here.
First, here's an overall shot of how it looks today. And then I will do a comparison shot of the official rendering from essentially the same location. So this gives you an idea of how it is progressing to this point. And here's a closer in view of that rotating kiln and the cooler. As you can tell, also nearby, a lot more of the concrete work, rebar, forms. It looks like bases for more of the large tanks and a good portion of the hydrometallurgical portion of the processing section of the lithium plant. So it's definitely coming along.
I don't know exactly the timing of that, but hopefully, next year, they should start early commissioning. We just wanted to do a quick, recap, because Rodney and I, we've published a lot of, other videos, the scoreboard and the lithium bulls coming out, next week. We just thought that this would be a good time to recap. A lot of people think it is the bottom. Bottom doesn't necessarily mean, rising immediately, but you've seen a tripling in Winsome's stock price in a month. Or from the bottom, in maybe 6 weeks. So there are good opportunities to invest, like what companies might have, you know, surprise news that could re-rate, you know, the stock. I don't know. We'll see. You know, by definition, a surprise is a surprise, but we've placed our own personal bets and we're hopeful that, you know, there could be news from Critical Elements, you know, and, you know, Piedmont, you know, European Metals Holdings had, you know, some positive news on the lithium hydroxide processing side earlier this week, you know, still awaiting kind of the DFS. But there are some sleeper stocks out there that, you know, you never know, they're illiquid, could wake up. Vulcan had a big rally on lithium chloride. You know, we'll see. Galan, you know, a lot of people think, a lot of people bullish that name, but, you know, doesn't trade super well. So anyway, Wildcat came out with, you know, some drill results. Stock went down, you know, 11-12%. So a lot going on. I mean, I'm rambling a bit here. We're winging this video in the Rockstock recap a bit, but, you know, to be continued, stay interested. Lithium, you can make money, but you just, you know, you got to pay attention and suffer through some volatility. Okay. Have a good weekend, Rodney.
Thanks, Howard.